Hello, Friartown. Welcome into this mini edition of FriarPod on FriarBlog.com. I'm Chris Torello. Some of you may know me better as Friar Broadcaster. Please feel free to follow me on Twitter at ChrisTorello11. Well, right now, couldn't be going any better for the Friars. They're 15-5, including a 5-2 start in Big East play, thanks to their first five-game winning streak in conference play since the 2003-2004 season. And actually, during that season, they had two five-game winning streaks, one of which stretched out to a six-game winning streak, which is the longest Big East winning streak for Providence in its storied history. They've done it twice, back during the 03-04 season as well as the 1986-87 season. So with this Midwest trip this week, some history could be made, whether it be tied or even rewritten. The 15-5 start for the Friars is their best 20-game start since that 03-04 season, and it's been written on Twitter and many articles. That's the last time the Friars went to the NCAA tournament. The one thing about having a little bit of this lull between the Xavier game and the Midwest trip, with the Thursday night game at Marquette followed by the Saturday game at DePaul, is there's been time for relaxation, recruiting, recuperation, putting Bryce Cotton into a hyperbaric chamber. But one thing for the fans is that it's given them an opportunity to kind of focus in on the lack of student fan support. We've had two recent articles written by Craig Bellhumer and Danny James. Craig, of course, of FriarBasketball.com. Danny James of FriarBlog.com. I know both of them. I've worked with both of them, and we helped co-found the Friar Faithful on the campus of Providence College. They are two of the most passionate, loyal fans to Providence College that I know. So it's great to see both of them, kind of putting their thoughts into articles, and I think Friar fans certainly appreciate the work they've both done, as well as the work of Craig Layton, Dave Peen, and Kevin Farhar, just really, giving everyone an opportunity to whether it be listen to a post-game conference, look at interesting stats, read different articles. It just kind of is really nice to have that group of people devoted giving Friar fans the coverage that they deserve, along from the regular coverage of, say, a Providence Journal or even a Pawtucket Times. But Craig and Danny both wrote interesting articles about the lack of student support, and I think the two of them can even be put together because they both bring up interesting points, and we're going to dive into both of those, as well as talk about the Marquette game, and we're going to talk about the DePaul game. So we'll do that really quickly in this mini version of FriarPod. When we look at student fan support, or lack thereof, one of the big things, as Craig Bellhumer mentioned, is recruiting and the importance of having that atmosphere for a recruit. And we can tie that into what Danny James was talking about with having that social atmosphere, the culture at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, and how it, making it the place to be for student fans for 2 to 2.5 hours before going out to a bar or to a party or before carrying on with the rest of their day, making the Dunk the place to be. And you can tie that into recruiting in terms of, hey, you walk into an empty Gamble Pavilion on the UConn campus, a recruit isn't going to want to go there. And I can almost point out a story about two former Providence recruits, one being Nerlens Noel, the other being Goodluck Okonobo. Obviously, with Noel, went to Kentucky, was a high draft pick in last summer's NBA draft. Goodluck Okonobo had a ton of teams after him. He ended up going to the universe. He's going to go to UNLV and will be spending his collegiate career out in Las Vegas. The big thing is that those two guys used to spend time on the Providence campus. And at one point, the two of them had this mindset that they were going to play here and that they were going to, that these are some of the best fans in the country. The Dunk gets so loud. It's awesome to be in. They came to a game. No one was there. The students weren't there, and the regular general admission fans, they don't get as loud, obviously, as when the student fans aren't there helping. But of course, that was back then. You see a little bit more juice in the regular general admission crowd these days, and I love that, especially with recently you see the front row, our donors, our high ticket season ticket holders, they're standing until the first basket is scored, and I love that. I think that's absolutely terrific. But it's a big deal for recruits, and I think another thing, and this is tied into what Craig Bellhumer was talking about, has to do with, you see our student fans wanting to come to the dunk when it comes to seeing other teams play. In fact, saying, like, I'm not coming to watch Bryce Cotton play. I'd rather come to watch, you know, Doug McDermott play. Or, you know, or in the past, it's been a Shabazz Napier from UConn. Or it's been, you know, players from Louisville, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, so on. It's a different Big East, and I think the star power is certainly not what it used to be. Some of the names are certainly worth it. I think the additions of Butler, Creighton, and Xavier are wonderful. They've been to NCAA tournaments. They've played in postseason play. They bring a great style of basketball. So obviously that's something for all Friar fans, not just students, to really embrace in this new era of Big East basketball. But I can look at, let's say we look at a past Big East member in UConn. And we look at what Shabazz Napier is doing this year. He's at 17.8 points, okay? 5.9 assists per game, okay? Now, a student fan in the past would say, oh, I'm going to go watch Shabazz Napier play because of the notoriety, the national attention that he and the team of UConn getting compared to what, you know, coming to watch Bryce Cotton play, who's finally starting to get the recognition he deserves from the national media. And let's hope that carries over in this week in the Midwest trip to Marquette and DePaul. And I'm going to mention that in a minute. But when you look at Bryce Cotton, 20.5 points per game, 5.9 assists per game, okay? That's 1.2 assists more a game than an actual Big East point guard. Okay? He's also playing 39.4 minutes per game this season. Okay? The 20 points per game and the 39 plus minutes on the floor has not been done by a player in the nation since the 08-09 season. It's incredible what he's doing. Absolutely incredible. And during Ed Cooley's first year as head coach, he and Vincent Council led the nation in minutes per game, both over 38 minutes per game. Now, you think that's impressive to student fans, and I don't understand why it's not, but the real fans are our local fans, our fans who are local alums who have been coming for years, or just local residents who have, you know, attached themselves to Providence College basketball and understand and appreciate the history of Providence College. And I think that's the most important selling point. And when you look at what Bryce Cotton is doing, he's played right now a little over 3,700 career minutes in a Friar uniform. Currently, this season alone, he's played 788 minutes. There are 440 minutes left in regulation time. So we're not including overtime. We're not including Big East tournament games, NIT or NCAA tournament games in terms of this season. But let's say he gets all 440 minutes. And if you believe the Ed Cooley quote, Bryce is not coming out of the game until he graduates, then let's add 440 minutes to that 788. That puts you at 1228. That means that in the second half versus Creighton, you take the 1228 total for this season added to the rest of his three seasons in terms of minutes played, he would have 4,144 minutes in the second half, by the end of the second half of that Creighton game in March, which is the final regular season game. That means he would surpass Donnie McGrath for the most career minutes played in a Friar career, which to me is unbelievable. And you also look at the fact that if he does get the 1228 and then goes and plays in a Big East tournament game, which he's going to do, in the first half, he would break the record for single season minutes played, which he holds with Billy Donovan. They both have had 1,234 minutes played. Donovan did it in the 86-87 season, Cotton during the 11-12 season. So Cotton's on pace to have a very special Providence career. Forget the scoring, forget everything else. What he's doing in terms of durability, in terms of being the lone, you know, being that player who stays on the court for the Friars and never comes off, it's very special. And when you look at his minutes of 39.4 minutes, if he plays all those minutes, gets a few extra games, he could end up right at about 39.6 minutes per game, which would be second only to Jimmy Walker's 39.7 minutes per game played for an entire season. That's pretty impressive. And when you mention the name Jimmy Walker, I don't care if you're a Friar fan, I don't care if you're just a college basketball aficionado understanding the history of college basketball, Jimmy Walker is one of the best college basketball players that anyone has ever seen. Now, when you think of all that as a regular fan, you think to yourself, my God, how can you not embrace this? How can you not want to jump down to the Dunkin' Donuts Center and watch this kid play? Watch him lead our team. Well, I don't know if that's something that Friar fans can really sink their teeth into as much as what Craig was mentioning, where you have Friar fans saying, oh, I'd rather watch a UConn come in and play. I'd rather watch Georgetown. I can't wait to see this team come in and play our team. And that's when they decide to flock to the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And it's a real shame. But we all know the real fans are the locals, the local alums. And it's just, you're the real fans, and we appreciate that. Now, we tried really hard during our time with the Friar Faithful, co-founding it, to really get Friar fans to buy into what we were, selling at the Dunk. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. You want the real wake-up call, you want the real reality. I don't expect to see a full house of student fans or in general until the DePaul game, which is Alumni and Parents Weekend, I believe in the middle of February. And then the following Tuesday after that weekend, Nova rolls into town. Nova's currently ranked 9th in the country. So I don't expect that when St. John's comes in here, even though Friar Faithful is working very hard to get as many kids to that game as possible, I don't see it. But just like with regular fans on these message boards, but let's remember back to when this team was 0-2 in Big East play. Heartbreaking double overtime loss to Seton Hall. People are questioning Ed Cooley. People are yelling at Josh Fortune for an inbounds pass he never made. And you have people, just really just down on everything. Like, oh, get ready for more of these nights. We have a Mickey Mouse organization. Look at what happened with our freshman being suspended for the year. All of that is gone. All of that is gone because of a 5-game winning streak. What's the real solution? What's the real thing? Winning solves everything. It's that simple. And that's why this Midwest trip is so important. So two terrific articles by Craig and Danny. But there was another article that was written by Dana O'Neill on ESPN.com. And it was written prior to the Xavier game. She mentions that the need for Providence to win that game would be so important. Because Xavier, we know, they've been to the tournament the past few years. They've had a coach like Sean Miller. Now he's at Arizona. Now you have Chris Mack in charge. He's doing wonderful things there. But the biggest thing is that if Providence can win, they can establish maybe a 4th or 5th team that could bid for an NCAA tournament appearance. And that's important. And so for Providence to get this win, the national recognition is now going up. You see Jeff Goodman, John Rothstein, Pete Thamel, making recognition. You saw Andy Katz rank, I believe, the Xavier PC game as the second most intriguing game of this past Saturday. So now you want to keep this winning going. Not just to maybe make some history in terms of a Friar regular season Big East winning streak, but also because the more you win, the more people react. Not just Friar fans, but fans all over the country, basketball writers, people on Twitter. That's where you need to find the notoriety. And I think this is a very important 2-game stretch. Now, think about it. Marquette and DePaul, 2 games in 3 days. The Friars have not had 2 games in 3 days away from home since they were down in the Virgin Islands back in November. So this is a very important 2-game stretch over 3 days, and let's get into that. When you look at Marquette, the Friars are 0-7 all-time at Marquette. Now, Marquette's coming off a tough loss at home to Villanova, and the last time Marquette lost back-to-back home games was 2009. But if you really want to get technical, the last time Marquette lost back-to-back home games without having a road trip in between was 1997. So Marquette's had some time off after losing on Saturday, and now they get to wait and they have the Friars coming. And then the Friars have to go to DePaul. Now, when you look at this game with Marquette, the Friars have, like I've said, they've had no success at Marquette. Very little success at home against Marquette. And Fryer players haven't had their best games against Marquette. Now, Bryce Cotton in four career games against Marquette has 14.7 points per game, which is respectable. But you look at someone like a Kadeem Batts, who in four career games is only averaging 5.5 points per game and has not had more than 6 rebounds in any of those four games. And he's fouled out of 2 of them. So that's an important thing to keep track of. Now, when I look at Tyler Harris, LaDante Henton, Carson DeRozier, those are the guys that really need to step up. Tyler Harris has had 4 fouls in his last 5 games, and he fouled out against Georgetown. He's averaging 13 points per game. He's a very important part of the free throw shooting. He's a big deal in terms of getting into the lane, creating shots for himself. You look at LaDante Henton, fouled out against Xavier, but he's been very good when it comes to his foul situation. And right now, in his 2 games against Marquette, remember, he's only a junior, 13 points, 6 rebounds in his 2 games against Marquette. So that's a good number, and I think he's going to be a key addition on Thursday night, because you look at the fact that he's found his jump shot. He's found the range from beyond the arc. And remember, last year, you have Kadeem Batts, you have Siddiqui Johnson coming and going. You know, LaDante, who ended up being a top 5 rebounder in the Big East, he wasn't able to find his identity. And I felt like he had a sophomore slump, not just because, you know, maybe he was pressing too much, but because I felt he couldn't just find himself in the offense. And I think this year he's done that thanks to the ACC additions of Tyler Harris and Carson DeRozier. Now, when you look at Carson DeRozier, he's coming off of a 2.7 rebound, 6 block performance. I'll take that from Carson DeRozier every single night. He just needs to be someone who can complement Kadeem Batts on the floor, someone who can be that defensive presence in the paint for Providence. Now consider this. Since Big East play began, Carson DeRozier has the most blocks in Big East play. More than Chris Obekpa, more than anyone. So that's pretty impressive in my mind. But he's been playing with 4 fouls. He's playing physical. And I think that's an important part. Fouling out is going to be a big deal in this game because Marquette, they're a physical team, as physical as any team in the Big East. The wild card in this game is going to be Josh Fortune. What can Josh Fortune do in terms of his ability from beyond the arc, his ability to, you know, get into the lane, create his own shot? What can he do along the perimeter in terms of defense? So he's going to need to be a big key. I don't think he had any points last year against Marquette. Now, if ever a time to take down Marquette, it would be right now. They're 11-9. They're 3-4 in Big East play. But Marquette has the 6'11 senior in Chris O'Toole. And when you look at his numbers, 10, 4, 4, 6, 1, 2, 6. Those are his numbers. Those are his point totals in Big East games so far. He's not physical. He doesn't commit a lot of fouls. He just kind of stands there. And in his 2 games against Providence, he's had 7 points and 2 points. He tore his ACL during the 2011 season, which prevented him from playing against the Friars. But the real story of this game are 2 players. We all know about Gardner, 15.5 points per game. Last year against Providence, he had his best game at 13 points. And Jamil Wilson, who has been in double figures scoring-wise in 6 of the 7 Big East games that he's played in this year. So I look for Henton and Harris to have to be big on him, maybe even Josh Fortune if he stays along the perimeter. But if ever there was a time to take down Marquette, it would be this game right here. And if you're a Fryer fan, knowing that a little history could be on the line, as well as the fact that you need to keep winning in order to keep building momentum, in order to start seeing a result in terms of maybe receiving votes on next Monday morning or the Monday morning after that, it's a big deal that you win on the road. 7 of the final 11 games for Providence are on the road. Now we're going to find out about this team's ability. Now we're going to find out what they can do away from the dunk. And then they have to go to Chicago and play DePaul. Now, ever since DePaul joined the Big East, Providence is 7-3 against DePaul. including 3-1 in Chicago. Now, if this game was actually being played at the Dunk, I would be worried, because DePaul has won the last two matchups against Providence at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, including last January's debacle and the debacle at the end of the Keno Davis era. But one thing with DePaul is the games are always closer than they need to be, especially lately. And when you look at the last time in Chicago, it took a LaDante Henton shot with 1.7 seconds left on the clock to fall through the basket in order to gain a win. So if you're Providence, these two games, Marquette and DePaul, these are two teams who know how to beat Providence. These are two teams who know that Providence is a game they should win and a game they can win. For Marquette, it's more should. For DePaul, it's can. And they want to go out there and do it. This is a big week in terms of psyche for the Friars. If they can take down Marquette and DePaul, they can easily go and win their remaining home games. I think they can win them, maybe except for Nova. But these are two of the most important games for Cotton, for Bats. You know, they've never beaten Marquette. For Henton to have a really good game against Marquette, to see Harrison DeRozier be there on Thursday night and Saturday afternoon. You know, this is going to be two of the most important games of the season in terms of what the Friars can do. So I think, you know, if they can win these two games, the sky's the limit, and then we can really start having the conversation. If they come home 17-5, 7-2 in Big East play, unbelievable. I don't expect it. I think they're going to fall at Marquette. Something's really going against me on that, but of course I've also been playing the reverse psychology angle on Twitter, so who knows. But there you have it. You want student fans in the building? The real wake-up call is this. Keep winning, they'll show up. If you keep winning, you'll keep getting notoriety. It all ties up to hopefully creating a home court advantage in the final four games you have at home and also building momentum towards the Big East tournament. We're a long way out from March. We're a long way out from Selection Sunday and Madison Square Garden. But hey, Friar fans, for the first time in a long time, we're not playing catch-up. We're ahead of the curve, and we're looking to create some distance atop the Big East. I'm Chris Torello. Thanks for joining me on Friar Pod. I'll see you on Twitter, and I'll see you at the games. Take care, everyone.